My dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. Mark chapter 5, these are words of the Lord Jesus Christ to a demon-possessed man. Mark chapter 5, verse 8, for he, the Lord, said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And the subject this morning is the Legion of Satan, the Legion of Satan, or Satan's legions. We could also apply. Well, we come to this passage before us in the Gospel according to Mark, which, as we have already read this morning, and I'm sure you can perceive, is a very dramatic portion of Scripture that involves the Lord Jesus Christ and a demon-possessed man. And we read in verse 1 of this chapter 5, that the Lord Jesus and his disciples, they arrive in a region called the Gadarenes, near the city of Gadara. And this was a region just southeast of the Sea of Galilee. And it was a territory that was largely inhabited by Gentiles. We know what Gentiles are, non-Jews. This was largely inhabited by Gentiles, or at least there was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles who lived in this particular region. And part of the reason why we know this is because we read in this account that swine were kept and pigs were kept. And Jews were not really in the habit of keeping pigs or swine because they considered swine to be unclean animals. So if we read of a place where swine are kept, well, then we assume that Gentiles were there and they were the ones who kept these herds of swine or pigs. So they are in on the border, really, of Judea, and they arrive there. And as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ arrives there, well, he is met, verse 2, by a certain man. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And of course, that means that he was demon possessed. This is how this man is described in Matthew's account. This was a case of demon possession. And as I often mention, when we come to passages such as this, it appears that demon possession was quite common, or fairly common, in the time of Christ, with demons seemingly able to possess men and women and even children at will and to control them completely, it seems. That seems to have been common, relatively speaking, in the time of Christ. And we see this in the Gospel accounts. But what we also see in the Gospel accounts, of course, and in this account, is that Christ has power over these demons. Christ has power to cast out these demons. And why is that? Well, we know this because he's not just a man or a mere prophet. He is God, the incarnate God, God manifest in the flesh, the God-man. That's why he is able to do this. And even just a few verses before this account, right at the very end of chapter 4, we read how this Jesus of Nazareth, well, he calms a storm. He calms a storm. Him and his disciples are on board a boat and a great storm arises. But the Lord, well, we read in verse 39 of chapter 4, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And well, at the very end of the chapter, verse 41, the disciples, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this? This is the God-man, of course, the only one who can control and command the wind and the waves and the sea. He has complete command over the natural world." And in this chapter, well, we see that he has complete command over the spiritual world. This is the God-man. He has command over all things. And so we must affirm this as often as we can when we meet together. Christ is God, not just a mere prophet, not just a good man. He's the God-man. So he comes to this region anyway, and he's met with this man, this demon-possessed man. But it becomes very apparent that there's not just one demon in him. There's more than one demon in this man. And this is very clear because in verse 9, as we've already read, the Lord asks him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." There were many demons in him, thousands of demons in him. His name is Legion. Now, a Roman legion consisted, generally speaking, of 6,000 men. It would vary, of course, from time to time, but generally speaking, a Roman legion, and he calls himself Legion, that's 6,000 men. Now, perhaps there were not quite as many demons in him as that, because when the demons come out of him into the swine, we read that there were about 2,000. So maybe there were only 2,000. But still, that's a lot of demons. A lot of demons in one man. And this is a tremendous miracle, a tremendous casting out of demons. But also there are tremendous lessons for us to learn just from this account. And I'm going to attempt, do my best, to look at this account and to look particularly at this name, "My name is Legion," because it offers us tremendous lessons. Lessons about the nature of sin, for example. Lessons about the nature of Satan and how he operates. It teaches us even about the state of the world in which we live in. You know, this name, "My name is Legion," it's, well, it represents this unbelieving world all around us, and I'll attempt to point that out. And, well, even if you are an unbeliever here, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, there is a sense in which you can even apply this name to yourself. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps your name is Legion also. And so we have to consider these things, and may the Lord help us and bless us, because this is a very dramatic and a very serious scene that we have presented before us in the scriptures. But "I am Legion," says this man. "My name is Legion, for we are many." And my first heading is that Satan has many allies. Satan has many allies. Now, a demon, very simply, is, of course, you know this, he's opposed to Christ. He is opposed to the work of Christ and opposed to the message of Christ. But let's just think about the world that we live in. There are so many people who are like this demon. So many people. Many people, legions of people, you could say, who are just like this demon. They too are opposed to Christ. They too are opposed to the message of Christ. They too are opposed to the Lord's people, to the true church. So many people in this world, there are legions of them. You don't have to go very far. You go out into the street, you will see people who are opposed to Christ. You can just tell by looking at them, the way they act, the way they conduct themselves, the way they speak, the way they dress. They're opposed to Christ. They don't want God to rule over them. You know people in the workplace who are opposed to Christ, in schools, Even the teachers in schools, they're opposed to Christ. So many nowadays. You have people in the highest places, in government, laws being passed to oppose God and his word. When we go out and when we knock on doors, well, very often we meet people, again, many people, not just a few, many people who are opposed to Christ and to God. And sometimes they speak just like this demon. Look at verse 7. The demon cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Well, so often when you knock on people's doors and you invite them to come to church, this is the sort of thing that they say. "Why have you bothered us? Why are you knocking on our doors? What have we got to do with your church?" It's very similar to this. This is how they react. And well, this is so common. The majority of the people nowadays, the masses of the people in this country and even around the world are like this. There are legions of them. Satan has many allies. The majority of people you meet are not interested in God. And you know, Satan will use that to lead us away from God. He uses that to lead people away from God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, maybe there's somebody here who's like this. Somebody here, you hear the gospel, and maybe you're interested in the things of God, and maybe you're even starting to think seriously about Christ and about coming to Christ. But then what happens? Well, this is what Satan does. He comes and he whispers in your ear, and he says something like this: "Don't become a Christian. Stay as you are. Stay as you are. Stay with the rest of the world. Be like everybody else. Look how many people are without Christ. Look how many people reject Christ. Stay with us. Remain with the rest of the world. We are many. We are legion," Satan will say to you. "Stay with us." And people listen to Satan and they never become Christians. They turn away from God because Satan is saying, "Look at how many people. You're in good company. Just stay with the crowd. We are many. We are legion." But dear friends, as you all know, or as you all ought to know, that's the wrong way. To stay with the crowd, to follow the rest of the world, that's the wrong way. It's the wrong way. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said this. Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow way. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." The way of the crowd, the way of the masses, the way that most people go, that's the way to destruction. If you follow the way of the world, that's where you are heading. "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You see, this is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see it all throughout Scripture. Only a few find their way to life. The rest of the world, the many, the legions, they reject Christ and they are lost. This is the way it is. And Satan will do everything he can to make sure you follow the crowd. The legions are on his side. Are you on his side? Are you on the wrong side? Dear friends, this is part of what it means. I am legion. My name is legion because so many go after him. But we who are of Christ, we are the few. And we find our way to life. And we'll expand on that point in just a few moments. But secondly, my second heading, my name is legion. You know, Satan and the demons, they have legions of lies. Legions of lies about God. About God. Satan is the father of lies, and he tells multiple lies about the Lord. Now, of course, it's true And this is very interesting, particularly as we live in an atheistic world. Satan most certainly believes in God. And all the demons that we see in the scriptures, they believe in God. And in fact, in this account, this demon or these demons know that Christ is the Son of God. In verse 7, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" These demons know that Christ is the incarnate God. They don't doubt it. They're not atheists. They know already. So they believe that there is a God because there is a God. But what Satan will do is he will tell lies about God. He tells lies about God. And sadly, this demon-possessed man, he seems to be gripped by the lies. "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." He seems to think that Christ is going to torment him. And well, there are so many people again in the world who think like this. They believe the lie about God. If I become a Christian, I'll be miserable. If I become a Christian, I'll be tormented. It's such a difficult, horrible life. That's what people think, just like this man, this poor man. Because Satan, well, he lies about God. He lies. And people believe the great lies that Satan says about God. God does not torment us, dear friends. God leads us to great peace, to great joy. God leads us to true life. That is what God leads us to. He doesn't torment us. Don't believe the lie that Satan will bring to you. Your life will be miserable if you turn to Christ. That's a horrible lie. And of course, well, Satan will also say to you that there are no consequences for turning away from God. You know, this is the first temptation that we read of Satan in the Bible. In the Garden of Eden, what happened? Well, there was Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were at great peace until Satan came to them and said, well, God is being unfair to you. God is, he's not a very kind God. He doesn't want you to eat of this tree. Isn't that unfair? Take of the fruit and things will be so much better for you. And well, there are so many people who believe that lie. If you disobey God, if you turn away from God, your life will be much better. And yet what happened? Were Adam and Eve blessed? No, of course not. Death entered into the world. Death for them, death for all their descendants. This is what happened. Dear friends, this is what happens when you believe Satan's lies. Death for Adam and Eve, and there's even death mentioned here. When the herd of swine received the demons, when the Lord Jesus Christ casts out the demons and they enter into the swine, what happens to the swine? Verse 13, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." The demons, they entered into the swine. The swine died. You see, this is what happens when we are taken in by Satan and taken in by sin. This leads to nothing but death. Death, if we are without Christ this day. Well, what are you heading for? You're heading for death. That is the teaching again of Scripture. And we don't just mean physical death. Of course, we know there's physical death, but when the Bible speaks of death, it speaks of everlasting death, a spiritual death, a conscious death, by the way, because some people will say to you, oh, well, if I'm dead, I'm dead. When you're dead, you don't feel anything, you don't see anything, you don't hear anything. So what's wrong with that? That's not how death is presented in the Bible. That's not how eternal death is presented. Eternal death, you are very aware that you are dead. You are very aware of your loss. You are very aware that you are separated from every good thing. You're very aware that you're separated from God. That's what eternal death is in the Bible. And that's where you are heading. If you don't know Christ, if you believe the lie of Satan, don't go to Christ, it'll be horrible. If you believe that, this is where you're heading. The wages of sin is death. And so we must understand these things. Satan and his demons, well, Satan is a murderer from the beginning. He is not interested in giving you a good life. He has no interest in life at all. He wants to lead you to death. And so we must be very mindful of his schemes and of his wiles. But dear friends, the Lord wants something better for us. The Lord wants us to live. The Lord is calling you, even this day, to turn to him. You may not be saved here this morning, but again, don't believe the lie that God wants nothing to do with you. Again, this is another lie of Satan. Some people say to me, I would like to come to the Lord, but I don't think God is interested in me. That's a lie. God is interested in you. God is calling you. Day by day, perhaps, every week when you come into this place, God is calling you personally to know him and to love him. Don't believe the lie that God is not interested in you, that God wants nothing to do with you. That's a lie of Satan. The word of God is that God is calling you, each and everyone personally, to know him, to be saved, to have everlasting life, and to ultimately trust in Christ. Christ is the only way to overcome death. He is the way to life. He is the way to God, the only way to God. The only way to God. You see, again, this is another way in which Satan tries to deceive us. God has given us one way of salvation, Christ, the eternal Son of God. But what does Satan do? He says, oh, there's many ways. There's a whole legion of ways. If you look out in the world, many ways to God. You see, his name is Legion. God gives one way, Christ. Satan, many ways, many religions, many prophets, many things you can do. His name is Legion. Christ is the only way to God. Don't be taken in by Satan saying there are many ways, only one way. And don't believe the lie that you can go your own way. So often we hear this. We can go our own way, our own spirituality, our own religiosity, our own good works, our good charitable works, the good things that you've done. Yes, we've all done good things in our lives, but that's not enough. The good things that you've done in your life, and I'm sure you've done many good things, they're not enough. They don't count. They count for nothing because of your sin. They have been spoiled by your sins, all the sins that you've committed in your life. If you had never committed any sin, well, then maybe your good works might be worth something. But the thing is, we've all committed sin. And so therefore, we cannot come to the Lord with our own good works, our own way. There is sin, so much sin in us. Well, this man, he had thousands of demons. And we may be amazed, how is it that one man has so many demons in him? But dear friends, we are all like this by nature. We all have a similarity to this man, because in us, there are not thousands of demons, I wouldn't put it like that, but there are thousands of sins in you. Just in one person, in one you. There are thousands of sins, are there not? Think of all the sins that you have committed. More than thousands, hundreds of thousands, billions of sin. Have you ever counted how many sins you commit in one day? Many people don't, because if they did, if they started to, they would realize they wouldn't be able to keep count. There are so many ways in which we sin every day, and so many ways to sin. Lying, stealing, pride, lust, thoughts that we have, things that we say, things that we don't do, things that we should do but we don't do. That's a sin. If you were to add up all your sin, well, it's more than these demons. Thousands, millions, billions of sins just in you that you have committed, dear friends. Your sins are legion. But Christ has come to save us. He has come to save us. This is what I want to leave you with. Christ has come. And this is why he's the only way to God, because he's the only one who's dealt with our sin. You look at all the other religions, there is no dealing with sin. They just tell you to go and do good works, go on a pilgrimage. But what about your sin? You can't go to heaven with sin in you. You can't be in that pure place with sin in you. You need to have your sin removed. And this is what Christ has done. He has removed our sins from us. And in fact, you know, there is, in a sense, an illustration here of what Christ has done. Because what happens to this man? This man has thousands of demons. And Christ removes the demons from him and places them into the swine, and the swine die. Instead of this man, it's the swine who dies. Well, you know, in a sense, that's a good illustration of what Christ has done. Because we have thousands of sins in us. And what has happened? Well, God has taken all of our sins, all of our many sins, he's placed them on Christ. And Christ has died for us. That is what he has done. On the cross of Calvary, all of our sins, all of the sins of all those who would trust in Christ, they were placed upon him, removed from us, placed upon Christ, and he took the punishment. He died in our place. And he went willingly. It's not like these swine. These swine didn't go willingly. Christ, he willingly went to the cross because he loves his people. He says, Father, punish me instead of them because I love them. I love my people. Place their legions of sins upon me. I will bear it all away. And they will be clean. They will be saved. Just like this man, thousands of demons, but they were removed. And well, we read at the very end of this account, well, the change in him. And well, verse 15, a crowd comes to the Lord Jesus after all that has been happening, the swine and all that happens with them. They come to Jesus, verse 15, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. This man that had been possessed with the devil and had the legion, well, now he's saved. Now he's calm. Now he's at peace. Now he's in his right mind. He has a new life. And this is what happens when we come to Christ. It's only Christ who gives us that new life, removes all our sins, cleanses us, washes us, gives us a new life, and we have wonderful joy and peace in him. Well, dear friends, how is it with you? Do you have that faith in Christ? Do you know that Christ has died for you? Or are you still siding with Satan, with all the things that we have just considered? Are you still with the rest of the world, with the masses, not with the few, the church, those who trust in Christ? You're with everyone else. We are many. We are legion. Is that you? Or maybe you have, and this is very common, maybe you have many excuses. That's what Satan gives us. Every time you hear the gospel, there's another excuse why you won't come. Another objection why you won't come. You know, what I've noticed is that people, they say to you, I'm not a Christian because I have an objection. And then as soon as you answer their objection, they come up with another one. And then you answer that, and then they come up with another one. They have so many. They have a legion of excuses. It's like Satan is feeding them. Is your name legion in that sense? You have a legion of excuses why you can't come to the Lord. Dear friends, you must go to the Lord himself. Yes, it's good to ask your pastor questions and so on. I don't want to deter anybody. But you know, the only way you're going to have your objections removed is if you go to Christ. You pray to him and you say, Lord, remove all of my unbelief. Remove all of my objections and all my excuses. It's only Christ who can do that. It was only Christ who could expel the demons from this man. It's only Christ who can save you and change you. It's not me. It's not the pastor. It's not any other Christian. You must go to the Lord yourself and pray, Lord, save me. Save me that I may know I am truly thy child, that I truly know thee, that I truly am saved. And he will save you. You will know this peace that this man knew. You will be in your right mind. That's what it is to be in your right mind. To be in your right mind is to know the Lord, not to fight against him, not to reject him. That's somebody who's not in their right mind. To be in your right mind, you must go to the Lord and trust in him completely. Dear friends, may this be said of each and every one of us, that your name is not legion, but your name, well, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust in the name of our Lord and Savior, and you believe in him. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us.